Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cunabrudi. So welcome to show number 322, entitled Is Inflation in Our Future? And before we begin, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices that I may mention today are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly, and past performance is no guarantee of future results. And remember, investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. And the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff members, or underwriters. And just to make a disclaimer, I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and am a Medicare-approved agent in the state of California. So Money Matters is about money, and money does matter, and the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. So yes, this is Mark Cunabrudi. Thanks for joining me. Show 322, Is Inflation in Our Future? Boy, it's hard to believe that I've done over 300 shows and almost over 1,000 newscasts, and I don't know how many articles. I do 6 articles a week. So anyway, it has come to pass. So we did a show last month on the game that is GameStop and AMC Entertainment, the movie theater business as well. So just to kind of recount that, you know, recap that, the GameStop stock, you know, the company was kind of not keeping up with the times. It was selling games by DVD instead of selling them online, which is where a lot of people buy these things. And they, you know, the stock kept going down and down and down. And one day a big investor put some money into the stock, and that became news. When a big investor buys stock, it becomes news. And a lot of the day traders, especially those, you know, that had their stimulus checks, they call them the college students with their $1,000 stimulus checks. They buy 10 shares of something. And they started to read that an investor had bought into GameStop stock, and they started buying as well. And so they started to drive GameStop up. And what happened is some of these hedge funds and famous short people, not as in short as in versus tall, but hedge funds and investors that short a stock. Shorting, just know, we explained it last show, and you can go to moneymanagementradio.com and hear that show, and everything is free. It's our way of your community radio station saying thank you for listening to the community radio station that you're listening to it on. So you can hear the show there. But they basically, when they go short, they bet that the stock goes down. And to do that, they sell the shares, but sell shares they don't have. Just know that to conclude a stock transaction, you buy shares, and then to close out it, you have to sell them, right? You buy 10 shares of Kraft Heinz or something, then you have to eventually sell 10 shares of Kraft Heinz at some point to get out of the trade. Well, you don't have to buy the stock first. You can sell it first. Kind of complicated how you do that, but you just basically sell what you don't have. But then to close it, you've got to the other side of the transaction, which is buy it. Okay. So when a lot of people sell the shares, stock goes down. A lot of people buy the shares, stock goes up. A stockbroker tell me one day, I asked Colin, I said, my stock's going down. Why? He goes, there's more sellers than buyers. So when a big investor bought into GameStop, then these little guys followed him in and were buying the stock. So the stock rose. So the short sellers, when you buy a stock, you make money if it goes up and then you sell it again. Short sellers do the opposite. They sell the stock when it's high, and they have to buy it to close the transaction, right? Two sides of the trade, buy and sell. And they sell the shares when it's high, and then when it drops really low, they buy them. So basically, they bought low and sold high. They just sold high first and then bought low later to close the transaction. So when this stock started running, because all these little day traders on a platform called Reddit, and Reddit has another sub-platform called Wall Street Bets. That's kind of where they went. And so the rumor went out on Wall Street Bets, which is part of Reddit, that GameStop had a big investor come in. So they started buying the stock, ran. Then the Wall Street funds saw the stock was running and they thought, no, this company's never going to survive. So they sold the shares short. And when they sell the shares, they have to buy them back. What they're hoping is the stock will drop. Well, the Reddit people heard that the hedge funds were starting to short the stock, starting to bet against its fall. And they knew that if they got into trouble, the hedge funds, by having the stock go up in price, the hedge funds would have to buy the shares themselves to close out their transaction or continually lose money as the shares went up. So the Reddit guys all got together, just kind of blog together and say, hey, everybody buy GameStop and we'll make some money as the stock goes up. And the hedge funds will be forced to buy the stock to close their deal because they'll be losing money if the stock goes up and we'll make even more. That particular event is called a short squeeze. So the person that's shorting the stock will sell the shares and therefore they have to buy them to close the deal. And if the shares run, the higher the shares run, that short person or firm loses more money the higher the shares run. So they eventually have to buy them back, and that drives the shares even higher, self-perpetuating. So you got to be careful. So the Reddit people got together, and they drove this GameStop up and up and up, and it was 10 and 12 and 14 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 100 and 100 and 200 and 250, 350, and the hedge funds were losing billions. Billions. The figure somewhere I've heard is around 20 billion changed hands. And that made national news. I mean, the stock from GameStop was 5, 6, 10 bucks, and it ran to 460 or something like that. And so it made news, and then the whole, the whole thing came out. People kind of understood how it went down, but basically a lot of people on Reddit got together and bought a bunch of shares and screwed the hedge funds. So a lot of the congressmen and women got together and said, good for the little people. They screwed the hedge funds, and other congresspeople went together and said, this is not good. This is not a stock market. This is not how the stock market should work. So arguments fell on both sides. Well, in any case, so I predicted when I saw it, I wrote an article, and the last show was the game that is GameStop. And I said, it's going to come back down. And today, it's not actually as low as I thought it would be. But GameStop is sitting at 49 bucks, and its high is what? Four something, 463. So it's $49, GameStop. So back down it came. It started this fiasco, it looks like around $3. And then it got up to about 17 or 18, and right around 18 bucks is when it blasted off to four something. And then it is now down at 52. So the Reddit people, just out today, today being the 16th, and you may be hearing the show at a later date because we're doing the COVID pre-recorded 29-minute version. So you may be hearing it at a different time. No worries. But today, which is the 16th of February, the news out of Yahoo Finance, the headline is why the GameStop congressional hearing will reveal to retail investors, what the GameStop will reveal. And the article starts out, I won't read this, the whole thing, it's by Jared Blickry, Yahoo Finance, written Tuesday. It says, 1 month after GameStop shares surged to record levels due to Reddit-fueled trading, Wall Street online brokerage Robinhood and Reddit are facing probes by the Department of Justice and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission in both chambers of commerce. Now, my opinion of this is, on Reddit, people just got together and blogged. So I don't know, why they're after Reddit, which is just a social media platform, and Robinhood, which is a trading platform. Now, maybe institutions traded the stock themselves. I doubt it, but maybe they did, in which case they'd have to look at that. If they published things that made the stock go up and they bought the stock themselves, then that might be something. But normally these hedge funds, these big investors, they do this stuff all the time. And, you know, there's an old saying, when Wall Street gets burned, Wall Street's going to go to Congress and get the laws changed. They're not for the little guy, in many people's opinion, as well as mine. So I've always said that when this happens, they're not going to go after the hedge funds for shorting this stock. They're going to go after the little guys. And that's what they're doing, in my opinion. So the incident has caught the eye of Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and the President and the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. What else is new? So we'll see what happens there. Now, they also ran up AMC Entertainment, the movie theater business. Well, you know, with this, my opinion, ridiculous worldwide shutdown of the economy for COVID. So you know how I feel about that. Never should have been done, in my opinion. I have published that since March, and I still stand by it. But, you know, everybody has their opinion. AMC Entertainment, that's the movie theater business. That thing went as high as $20. Not as bad. It started out around $2, so it went up 10 times. And it's sitting down at $5 today, $5.51. So, okay. And now they're also running other areas. They ran silver. The rumor was they ran silver, the price of silver, and some other things. The rumor was they ran marijuana stocks, and they blasted off, and then they got completely slaughtered just a couple of days ago. It was funny because, you know, I managed portfolios, and I saw the marijuana stocks just go crazy up. And the next day, they just got totally just obliterated. Just obliterated. Is it a good time to buy marijuana stocks? I don't know. Who knows, right? I don't know. When things bounce around like this, I stay well away. Those are for speculators, you know. And it's basically also, in my opinion, for young traders to make mistakes and lose money. I don't know a lot of young traders that make money. They have to learn a lot of lessons first. But we'll see what happens. Okay. So the Dow, 31,462 today. Is that an all-time high? I think it's close to it, but I don't think it is. All-time high is 31,608, so it's 31,467. Here the economy is going into the tank, and the stock market is almost at a new high. you know, when we started COVID, before we started COVID in February, stock market was sitting around 29,600. Okay, now it's even 2,000 points higher, and the economy is in the tank. How bad, when all this is done, how bad will the statistics come out about COVID and how badly things were destroyed? I think worse than anybody imagines. And that the stock market is making new highs right now, it does baffle the mind, but it is. So we'll see what happens there. So the NASDAQ and the S&P are following suit, you know, they're running as well, down a little bit today. Gold, not at its new high. It's around 1795 today. So we'll see what happens. Can the market continue to run? Maybe. I am taking a cautious defensive stance with clients' portfolios. I'm taking a defensive position. That is just an opinion, right? It's just my way of addressing what I think is going to happen. But again, no one can forecast market direction at any time. And so, and I'm one that cannot as well. So I'm just mentioning that that's what I'm doing, being defensive, because this does concern me a little bit. Could it run higher? Sure. It's an old saying, markets can stay liquid longer than you can stay solvent. And so, there you go. So we'll see. Now, we all know that there's a stimulus package coming. Could be a stimulus package coming. And so, we'll talk about that in just a set. Let's take a break so you all go get some coffee, visit the restroom, whatever you got to do. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for joining me, and we'll give you 30 seconds or so to do what you have to do, and then come back and we'll go on with the show. And welcome back to this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for tuning in today. So to begin the show, it's a 29-minute condensed version of Money Matters due to COVID. We used to be an hour live, but of course everybody's sequestered and the radio station is no exception. And so here we are. We have to wonder, you know, we all know that stimulus is coming, right? Another round. There's some arguing in Washington back and forth about how much is coming, but we think it's going to be between 1.4 and 1.9 trillion. So you're going to get another check. And there's going to be a new PPP loan program, Paycheck Protection Program. That's already out. And there'll be more help to the banking system and corporations and everything else. And you'll get one check. Maybe two. Maybe. So we have to wonder, with all this printed money, those of you that have listened to the show for a while, when you print a ton of money, the expected result can be inflation. What is inflation? Everybody says, well, it's when prices rise. Yeah, that's true, but let's talk about that for a second. Depending on what kind of inflation and what degree it will occur makes answering the question, is there inflation in our future, a difficult one. Inflation to most people means the increase in the prices of the things that we buy. Pretty simple. However, why it happens and to what degree it occurs requires that we take a trip through the economic school book. One might describe inflation as the fear your dollar will lose value. The fear your dollar will lose value. Think Mexican peso, okay? Fear. Will you want to take a peso for the selling of your home? No. Why? Because I fear it won't be worth anything. It'll lose value. So that's inflation. That you are afraid that the currency you have will lose value. You could also describe inflation as the fear that something will rise in price in the future, making it more expensive. Think home prices in the mid-2000s. So you go out and you buy something for fear that something will go up in price and you'll have to pay more later. So buy the house today because prices will be a lot higher tomorrow. If you are afraid, the prices will go higher. There's another third definition of inflation is you are thinking something will be worth more later. Okay? Think Bitcoin. Hence, you'll turn a profit. So I'm going to buy Bitcoin because it'll go up in price, may go up in price, and I'll make a profit. So that is also inflation. Those three things are inflation. You fear the dollar you have will lose value. Think Mexican peso. You fear that something will rise in price, make it more expensive later, so you buy it now. Think homes. Or you think something will rise in price and you'll make money. All those things point to more or less inflation. No matter what view applies to your perception of inflation, you probably think about it in three different ways at different times. When you buy a house, it's going to be cost more. When you buy Bitcoin, I'm going to make money. And I don't want to take a Mexican peso because it'll lose value. No matter what your view is of this, the event that is making you alter your behavior is a change in price. I'm doing something because something's going to change in price. And in my three examples, that all represented an inflationary environment. Now, those three things could be flipped on their head, and it would represent deflation, okay? Deflation would be, I think Bitcoin's going to fall in value, so I'm going to sell it. Or I think something's going to cost less tomorrow, so I'm going to wait to buy it. Those are deflationary events. Inflation can have many causes. And we're not going to trump off into the lily pads or the weeds too far. We're just going to talk about the most common type of inflation, and that is what we call monetary. Notice the M-O-N in the front of the word monetary. It starts out with M-O-N-E-T-R-A-Y. So take off the T-A-R and you have M-O-N-E-Y. So money inflation, monetary inflation. This type of inflation is usually the most insidious and the most dangerous. But it is also a type of inflation that can usually be prevented if there is a will to do so. Now, other types of inflation can't be prevented, such as, let's say there's a blight in an orange grove that supplies all the oranges. Well, that would be that the price of oranges would rise because the blight decreased the supply. And you can't really do anything about that. Well, you could by curing the blight or whatever you call it. But that is what we call a supply-driven inflation. There's less of it, so the price is going to go up. Simply put, the most common type that can be prevented is this monetary inflation. Now, monetary inflation comes about when you do three things. One, you print a lot of money. On a currency, gold, you can't print, but you can print money and coins. You know, make coins out of copper or wood coins or whatever. So basically, you create a lot of currency. That's condition number one. You do it in a relatively fast amount of time, and then you put that currency into circulation. Do those three things, and you will likely get monetary inflation. All three conditions must be present to get monetary condition. So we'll describe the three conditions. Creating a lot of dollars. Let's say printing a lot of dollars. You can kind of think of it a little more clearly that way. Printing of a lot of dollars means you're creating dollars without regard to constraint. I don't care. I'm just going to keep printing. Usually it's done because the government can create the money and spend it itself. And then it goes into the economy. But the first spender of the newly created money gets the full bang for the buck, because it doesn't cause inflation until it's out. So if they make $10 trillion and the government spends it, because they're the first one spending it, they will get full value. This is why they do it. So printing dollars without constraint will cause inflation too. Time frame. I will liken time frame to describing if you printed a bunch of dollars over 10 centuries, you wouldn't see inflation for the most part, because you did it over a long period of time. You have to do it fairly quickly. What's quickly? Well, it depends on how much you print. But basically know that if you created dollars over eons, it probably wouldn't cause inflation. So you have to print a lot of dollars, and you have to do it in a fairly good amount of time so you really saturate the economy that the dollars are going into. That's the second part. Okay. The third part is it has to go into circulation. What that means, if you print a lot of dollars and you do it quickly, but you bury the money, it doesn't go into the economy, and therefore doesn't cause inflation. So third part of the equation is circulation of the newly created dollars. The money has to be in the economy for the people to use it, and they must use it to cause monetary inflation. If you eliminate any of these conditions, quantity, time frame of how you do it, when you do it, and circulation, monetary inflation will not occur. If you do all three of these, monetary inflation will occur. Most people can conceptualize monetary inflation when I say Mexican peso. Good example. Although you may not be able to put your finger on the exact mechanism of a Mexican peso moment, you understand that something's at work here. Something's at work. And if I ask, well, what happened? You'd say, well, I think the Mexican government created too many pesos. That's right. They also, which most people won't realize, they did it over a relatively short period of time. And the pesos were not buried in the dirt. They were distributed in the economy. Now, fast forward to the U.S. 2008-2009 bailout. Most analysts expected inflation due to the trillions of dollars that were created, right? They created trillions of dollars to use in the bailout. But we didn't see a lot of inflation. We did a little bit, but not a lot. Why? The feds did do the first two conditions. They created a ton of money, trillions of dollars. They did it in a quick amount of time, about a year, year and a half. But what they did is they gave most of that money to the banks, and the banks exchanged bad debt to the Federal Reserve. They gave the Federal Reserve their bad loans, and the Federal Reserve gave them money. And the banks basically did two things with it. They bought stock with it. They loaned out very little. And then they had a lot of extra money. And they parked it right back at the Federal Reserve. They gave it back to the Federal Reserve under a program called excess reserves. Federal Reserve said, if you got extra money, you don't have to have any more than a certain amount on hand. You got to keep a certain amount of cash on hand, but you don't have to have any more. The banks turned around and gave it to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve paid them interest on the money. So just to make it clear, the banks got money from the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve gave the banking system and others money for their mortgages. The Federal Reserve took the mortgages and put them in a warehouse called their balance sheet. But basically, the Federal Reserve took the mortgages, gave the banks money. The banks went out and spent some of it on the stock market, which drove the stock market back up. Then they put the rest of the money back at the Federal Reserve, or the Federal Reserve put it back in their vaults and paid the banks interest on it. So the money, we didn't have the third condition. The money did not go into circulation. Okay? So to be clear, the feds gave money to the banks. The banks gave the bad loans to the feds. The banks gave much of that money to the stock market and much of it back to the feds, and we got paid to do so. Whether you like it or not, that's what happened. So the newly created Fed money never made it into the hands of the consumer and subsequently into circulation and fulfilled the third condition. It must go into circulation. It went right back to the coffers of the Fed. This time around, the COVID-19 bailouts, about half the money went to and will go to consumers and businesses. Now, trillions of dollars will continue to flow to the financial sectors, which has caused what? Inflation and stock prices again, right? No big deal. Well, the market's disconnected. Yeah, but half of it is because the banks got a lot of money from the feds for the COVID bailouts, and they did what? Same thing they did before, bought stock with it. But much of this money, about half of it, will go into public circulation. It's already in public circulation. And you could see it by some of the stimulus checks went into Reddit, one of those guys driving up GameStop and AMC movie theater entertainment stock. So this time around, about half of the COVID-19 bailouts will go into the circulation of the economy. We will go to the people. Much of this money will go to the public circulation. The third condition will be complete. The three rings, Lord of the Rings. That said, since all three conditions have been met and will continue to be met, inflation is on its way. We'll be right back to conclude the show. And welcome back. You've been listening to Money Matters, your economic forum, on your community radio station. My name is Mark Kudenbrody. I want to thank you for listening today. We covered inflation, and we covered went over a little bit more of the GameStop stock manipulation. And the show 322 is Inflation in Our Future. Just remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as individual investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and I'm a Medicare approved agent in California. The opinions expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, underwriters. And remember, no one can forecast market direction at any time. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. My name is Mark Kudenbrody. Our website is moneymanagerradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. Money. Get back.